Thank you, Brother Rick, and thank all of you for this morning. I have a twofold task ahead of me today. I've been asked, as we've done every year or from a number of years, for me to have a recap for last year, and I plan to do that. Then also, God has given me a message, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will be able to touch each one of us. This new year, I can put it this way, we're starting, it's not really important what happened yesterday, nor what will happen tomorrow, but it is important what happens in here today as well as tomorrow. Because that'll take care of it. I want to have a prayer first. Then I'm going to read the scriptures, very brief. Discuss it, and as a conclusion, we will have a special number and then a prayer. And so let's bow together and pray. Lord, we've called on Thee for many a time, in many different situations, and in many places. And we're never disappointed with how you guided and how you led. And we trust again today. Lord, bring glory to yourself. Lord, we realize that we've come to church, that we're under thy watchful eye. Because thy eye goes throughout all the earth, back and forth, to see how you can help, how you can bless, how you can impact our lives. And may all of us be aware that we are in thy presence, O God, and that it behooves us to go and to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith, whether we're in thy will, whether we are numbered among those that believe on Thee. And we ask You, Lord, for the grace to continue that we with all of our heart might praise You this day and every day from now on. Even though there are 365 days ahead of us, that each one may be numbered as a praise to Thee. Because thou art worthy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who made it worthy. Amen. Most of you know that I keep a fairly regular record of what happens here at church. But I'm not a historian. I don't mark everything down. And sometimes I have to catch up days or, you know, sometimes the information is a little bit sketchy in my mind and I attempt. But I attempt to do it. So if something that I say this morning is not exactly the way it happened, let me know. Okay? I want to talk about baptisms, I want to talk about the births in the families, I want to talk about the deaths that we've had in the church. We've only actually had one, and it was not a church-related death. It was Sister Jenny Clemens' sister-in-law that died, and we were asked to have the funeral. Her name was Madeline Salady, and just a very brief thought, Madeline was baptized with her husband in the nursing home up in Fairlawn, and a number of years ago, both were baptized there in the nursing home, and some of you were there. Madeline, John, her husband, died, but she never recovered enough to come to church. And she never really was open for visitation, though I had an opportunity to visit her, I think at least twice. But she never wanted anyone to come in her home. I don't know what the reason was, but that's all right. I want to talk about some of the other events, wedding, and some of the outreach things that we do that I think are an honor and a glory to God. So, baptism first. In our family, there was a baptism in Richland, Richland, Washington, and we went out for Carter Kovacs' baptism on April 17th. Just really enjoyed that, and someone jokingly said that the only time you and Arlene travel is if there's a new baby or a baptism. And I said, that's right, what else is there? From the standpoint of importance and from the standpoint of family, I believe that. October the 2nd, we had a baptism here, and I want to mention Sister Claudia and Sister Beth and Sister Caitlin were baptized, and then Zoe, you also with your sister and with the others also. We're really happy about that. I was particularly happy. I think I missed the announcement of Zoli, you may have been the one announced for baptism, and I missed it. And so when I heard that you were part of it, I almost jumped up and and praised the Lord. But I didn't want Dave to get on me, because I'm just joking about that. Because he admonished us today. Sometimes our singing is not where it ought to be. When it's a joyful song, we ought to sing it like a joyful song. We shouldn't drag it out like it's our cat died or whatever. To some people, when a cat dies, their world comes to an end. It's not so. Births. We had three little babies born here in this church, but I have listed for four because we have, of course, when the Webbles come in, we had a little granddaughter born in Mansfield, Mila Grace Lamp. May 31st, Lacey Pretty, and I don't see them here today. I called Martin because I didn't have a middle name. So if she has a middle name, someone tell me because I don't have a middle name for her. Little Lacey. And the other one that I have is, September 1st, Kopchaks were blessed with a little baby, Sophia. We got a chance to meet, and then when on December 9th, Juliana Levy, I think is the middle name, Vandenberg was born, I thought to myself, these three girls, every one of them is, you can tell they're girls. One, I don't know how it is, you can send the kid through high school and send them to one of the Ivy League schools, and they come back and they can't tell the difference between men and women. Babies already, you can look at a baby and see it's a girl. But scholars are scholars. They disagree with everything you say. I thought to myself, I looked at the baby, and Martin was joking on the phone with us when he called, and he said, Brother Ryan, she looks like a peanut. And he reminded me of this when he brought it here. They're not here today. So I said to him, I said, Brother Martin, tell me, she looks like a little Martin more than a peanut. And he's laughing. We never got to finish that conversation. But you know what a little Martin is? That's a little bird, right? She's a beautiful. I look at babies and I sometimes say, Lord, I don't know if everyone is different. But everyone is so individual, so beautifully made, coming from your hand. I already mentioned the death, Madeline's lady. I want to talk about, we had one wedding here on August the 29th. Maria and Eric Gibson were united. I don't see them here today. But they're usually here. There were several other weddings that impacted us in our family, and one was There are granddaughters, some of them, one of them in Richland, Washington, two of them in here, one in Mansfield. So, but don't worry, Webbles are not taken over. It's a blessing of God that makes it where it is. The events that we had that I at least listed, I listed the blood drives that we did, two of them, January 25th and June 14th. We had Brother Adolf had his surgeries. He actually on June 9th went in for surgery and he fainted there. His heart stopped beating and he thought that they lost him. But that's an event that happened here. He's had surgery since then. One event that I really liked, Dave, and that was last week when we had an instrumental accompaniment. We've done it for not 20 years, bigger or smaller. And while it is hard sometimes, I encourage you to continue. You know, some of us need a little bit of whatever that's called, motivation in the rear. You know, I don't know what else to call it. Other than that, nothing really impacted so much. I think the church buildings and our outreach. I want to mention about the August the 13th, we had our annual, this was our 37th annual barbecue. And I was informed by Sister Cindy, who normally keeps track of these things fairly, we served about 500 meals, which is considerable. The collection that day, if I remember right, Brother Kurt, you said was $14,500, which is phenomenal. When you told me, when I found out, you know, I almost fell down and I cried before God thinking how wonderful it is that God's people are generous to that point. But I need to remember that probably half of the audience or the people that were here were not our church people. They were people locally whom I recognize, many of whom have come over, you know, over time. And I have spoken to some since. Down here, I went to hardware store. And he's telling me about being up here, and he says, I really enjoyed those men and those young people singing. And, you know, of course, I was a part of that here, and I really enjoyed that too, very much. They were our guests. What I particularly enjoyed was the fact that there were so many of our neighbors here for that. I think that is probably one of the best things that can happen to us. That they also need to realize they don't need to come to church here, they need to come to the Lord. And if that is encouraged, that is great. The Cider Festival on October 1st and 2nd, that Brother Phil was basically moving on, I thought was very good, in Columbia Woods. And I also want to encourage the continuation of the blessings in a backpack. Call it blessings in a pack if you want to or whatever. But I've had the privilege of going with Brother Dave and to the schools that we take care of. Incidentally, it's 104 children that are being fed by this church. Thank God for that. It's worth every bit. But it's also some of your ingenuity, some of your sisters, Cindy, and particularly I'm looking at Cindy and Carol because you have a lot to do with that. Having connected with a food bank where we are able now to get some food free from them. Not necessarily, nothing is free in life, but it doesn't cost us immediately, at least, because they are asking for help from us, and that's all right. That's a good thing to remember. I have one other thing. I was I'm always touched by someone like you, Sister Joyce, when you for the care that you give to your son. Beloved, when I look at God's Word, God is touched. God's heart is touched when we care for the weak, when we care for those who are hurt, when we care for those who are hungry, those who are the unfortunate people. I weep when I think about children going to our schools in this community, in this country, at this time, when we have millionaires, when we have all kinds of people, and they're going hungry. I'm touched when people respond to that. And I believe God's heart is touched. And if you want to look at this, you know, the today's Bible class lesson was out of Psalms 33. Read Psalms 33. It has some beautiful thoughts. Verses 18, 19, some of the ones that were not part of our lesson. What God is like. God looks for opportunities. And I think that is a very commendable. Project Sword. I'm always glad when Project Sword is encouraged. And Al, I think you are the one that works up the schedule on that. I looked at it, but I haven't read. But I realize that I'm already one day behind. I'll catch up. But the biggest difference that will make in anyone's life if you read God's Word. Read God's Word every day. Read God's Word because our life depends on it. People of God, worship is far more important than work. Worship is more important than play. Worship is more important than anything we do. And part of worship is coming to church, singing, and we were encouraged in some of that today in Bible class. And I personally appreciate this. Two other things that are worthwhile mentioning. One was July 6th, and if you look around, the windows were replaced. And I think they look beautiful, especially when they're clean like they are now. You can look outside, and I thought, especially Arlene was reminding me how clean or how clear she, but part of her clearness came because she had eye surgery. That's part of that. But on the November 10th, we replaced the gutters. Now that doesn't mean a whole lot to anybody because we don't live in a gutter. But it's a good thing. I have been here when it rains and have a hard time ducking under the roof without getting wet. So we appreciate this. And there are some other things coming up that have not yet been done. With this, I want to spend the last 12 or 13 minutes talking about Genesis chapter 7. And I want to ask you to go there also. Genesis chapter 7 is part of the story. It starts in chapter 6, the story of Noah building the ark. And part of that interest came to me because of the new display that has been built in Kentucky that is supposed to mimic an ark that is a replica or possibly what we think the real one was. But the real ark that Noah was asked to build was something that would be about as wide as this church building is long, from about where the church is halfway down to 550 feet or something of that nature, and three stories high with a window on top and a huge door on a side. An amazing, and I saw pictures of this down in Kentucky, and I'm not so sure that it is anything like this, but it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. And while he did this, in 2 Peter we read that he preached the gospel. He preached righteousness for 120 years while he was building. My reading today is only one verse. And I want to go to 7, and I want to go to verse 16. And I want you each to look at this. If you have it, look at it. If not, I will wait till you go there. I want you to see it in Scripture. Because this is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a picture of judgment that all of us, every one of us, will be facing. If not when we die, or then when Christ comes back, we all will be facing. And here's what it says in verse 16. And they, meaning Noah and his family, only Noah and his wife and his three sons were, and their wives were saved. They were invited to come in. The rest of mankind perished then. But here's what it says in verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And I'm saving the last sentence because that's the title of today's message. And God shut him in. We read in verse 1 of chapter 7 that God was in the ark and he invited Noah to come in when the period of grace was over. He invited him to come into the ark. And what does that mean? When he came in, God shut the door. It's a beautiful way of describing each of us that belong to the family of God, that are numbered among those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the saved. You and I, those of us that know the Lord, we're going to be shut in prophetic word, or in a picture that is related here. The scriptures say that Noah was shut in. What does it mean to be shut in? It means, one, later on, when you look at this, there are some were shut out. And that's the part. That's the part that I want to emphasize to myself first. You see, God shut all of us. The door that was here, that was made on the side of the ark, that's what he's referring to. This door was shut. What is a door? Doors are sometimes pictured as opportunities. Opportunities of hope. Opportunities of something or other. We stand at the threshold of a new year, another door being opened. And beloved, this door, however, is the one that would God said that would enclose Noah and his family. There's several things I want to talk about. This was the 10th generation from Adam's creation day. 10 generations. And we read here that God looked about in all the world and saw that men were only evil continually in their thinking, in their heart, in their thoughts, continually evil. And he decided that's it. No more. That he was going to destroy the earth, with it all of its inhabitants, all of the people, all of the animals, all of the birds, everything that hath breath, including the earth, was going to be destroyed because continual violence, continual disorder, continual sinning, and it was It, in fact, the scripture said, and I don't understand how that is, but it said that God changed his mind. He, in the King James, it says, he repented that he had made man. To me, it's difficult to understand from that standpoint, but from another standpoint, beloved, we live in times that are difficult to understand. We are living in times like Noah. God is working, yes. God has, and Dave, this morning's class, and some of the things that were being said here, that God has an interest, that God is pleased with some of us because we have given our lives. We believe him. We obey him. We live a God-like life, and that's the kind of life he could not see. But if you don't have to go very far. I didn't look at this morning's newspaper. Neither did I look at any other means. But I would not be surprised how many new murders have happened in Chicago and in Cleveland, and you name any city, because there's violence. Violence wherever you go. I see the way people drive. I go down the end of our street, turn left, go down to Market Street, and I see people in the right lane turning left, people in the left lane turning right, people with what are these called on the cell phones. I see them with texting. I told Arlene the other day that I saw a woman turning left. She, in her left hand, she had that cell phone thing. In her right hand, she was fixing her hair, and she was turning right in front of a truck. Good thing the truck driver wasn't doing his hair, or there would have been a hair-raising story. I thought, I could not believe it, and she made it. I don't think she knew the difference. Unfortunately, she was not an older woman. She's probably in her early 20s. Was she married? I don't know. Did she have a family? I don't know. But you know what? If I would have been her father, and she came home, number one, I would have been thankful to God that she made it. Number two, she would have probably had the only mind of my, the only mind that's left, she would have had it. Peace of my mind, that's what I'm trying to say. Because of what's happening. But beloved, it's worse when it comes to the moral issues in our society today. I'm going to come to this in a few minutes because when Noah was shut in, he was shut in with his family. We are here, fathers, mothers, we who are parents. We have, let me just say it this way, we have several obligations, mandatory obligations before God. One is that we are right with God first. Number one. We are right that we repented of our sin, that we are right with God, that our lives are in order. Number two, how do you think what Noah felt when God's word says that he and his family were in the ark? They were the only ones, eight souls, Peter tells us, were saved. How many, what was the population of the earth then? Was it 1 million? Was it 10 million? One man. The scriptures say God looked upon the earth and he saw Noah and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man out of the entire world population that found favor with God. And they all died, every one, without exception. God shut him in, shut Noah and his family in, so they would not have that ridicule and have the influence of the world. The world is here to destroy you. If you're married, the world will try to separate you. If you have family, they will try to take your family away. If you have children, they will try to get you to educate them in all kinds of things. Their jobs, you know, most of them is more important how successful they are. I will tell you this. How many different places have we gone? And people will ask me and ask Arlene, how's your family? I'm not exactly sure what they mean, but I think I know what that means. I usually say they're fine, as far as we know. They're all happy, and they're happy in the Lord. And it usually stumps them. Wait a minute. They're not interested. They're interested if they're some executive somewhere, if they're the president of the company or the president of the country or whatever. That's what they're interested in. And beloved, we're falling under the same kind of a thing. We want our children to be successful. No. Let them be holy. Bring them to the Lord. That's our job as parents. I don't know how Noah did this. I don't know how what he talked about, but for 120 years he was building the ark. He had a task that is impossible. If I look at the Tom, I looked at the, you know, I told you that I looked at the magazine, and I thought to myself, Tom gets a magazine, and I looked at it and borrowed it. A 450-foot or whatever the length of that ark is, made out of wood, how did he do it? He would have had to have help. His sons must have helped. Somewhere along the line, he won his family to the Lord. They were the only ones saved in the entire world at that time. How was it? They did something right. Even though everyone else in the whole world looked at him probably as a little bit off. Who would build a boat in the middle of a mountain, on dry land that has never seen water, just because the man says, God told him that there's a flood coming. And the flood will, and that they need to repent for that. That they need to come to God. They need to recognize and believe that God is tired. He will destroy the world. He will, and it will happen. And when we read in the story that God came down and looked, and it says, yet 7 days and the rains will come. And he had Noah, and I'm sure when Noah stood up that day when he got to the door of the ark and stood in the ark, and maybe he was like me and there, and I feel this way sometimes too. We need to tell, and the message needs to be clear. Because we read in Philippians where it says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall they prepare for the battle? Got to give a clear sound. The clear sound is that judgment is coming. I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care what the preachers say. Don't care what the preacher, but if God's word says, I will shut the door to those, God will do it. Everything perished. Everyone. I have a bunch of books at home, and Arlene, in her wifely manner, is it once a week maybe, honey, or maybe more often, she'll say, honey, you need to get rid of these books. I mean, what will happen if, something happens? What will I do with the books? Well, one of those books is the picture drawings of the mysteries of Scripture. And in there they have a picture, or several pictures, of Noah's flood. And there's one picture that I cannot get out of my mind, is a mother with a baby and her husband struggling to get up to the top of a hill because the water was that high. And I can imagine some people standing by the door on the ark, knocking on the door and saying, "Open!" Or might have even been a policeman, might have even been a politician, and say, "I demand that you open. Where is my right? I demand." And Noah could say, "I didn't shut the door. God did. God will open it." And God did open it. You see, God shut the door. It's God's judgment. It's not the preacher. Noah stood there, and I am convinced that he probably went to, like, Ezekiel 33, where he talks about the watchman on Zion. You know, if he sees the enemy coming, if he doesn't blow the horn, the blood of the ones will be on him. But if he blows his horn, then the blood will be on the victims themselves. And you know, I'm sure Noah did, because Noah did not complain. Noah did not ask any questions. God gave him an almost impossible task. And what did he do? 2 Peter, the apostle, says he built an ark to the saving of his soul, which is work. It's work. He did it. And I've often wondered about this. We cannot work for our salvation, but there are some things we need to do. One of them is baptism. This is a picture of baptism. This is a picture of Christ. Christ is the door. Christ himself said, "If any man come in, I am the door. If anyone comes in, it comes through me." You know, and outside are the wolves, and you know, you can read this. And in Revelation 21, we read where the Bible says that let him that is unjust be unjust still, and let him those that want to perish, those that have decided they were not going to obey God's word, they will perish, they will die, they will go to hell. It's a decision that they make. It's not what God makes. God honors the decision that you make. And while the door was still open on the side of the ark, I am convinced it probably was already beginning to rain. And Noah stood up one more time and would invite anyone that wants to come into the ark. Come be saved. Come. But no. They probably said, "You old man..." And I've seen this already. You know, I was told already. You're an old man. You need to get off the road. I was never on the road. Oh, you mean driving? Oh, okay. I'll take that under consideration. Old man. For 120 years, he preached the same message. It's going to rain. God is going to bring a flood, and he preached that faithfully. Probably had some scholars say, "It didn't never rain before. Come off of that. You'd have to open up all of heaven and all of earth to get enough water to get this thing to float." You know, because it was 15 cubits above the highest mountain. That's how much water there was. Probably, I don't know what else they might have said, but probably called him an old fool. Not all there. You know, he's like a broken record. Every time he talks, he says the same thing. Doesn't he know any more than whatever it is? Until God shut the door. And beloved, there's a day coming when all of us are going to be at the end. And as I look the congregation over, I have a hard time. I have a hard time because I would like every one of you to know what it's like to be shut in with the into the gate, into the door. When the door is shut, when they number the ones that believe on Him, count me in. I want to be one of the ones. I don't have to be in the front, but I want to be one of them. And I want my family and my church family to be a part of that too. Beloved, eternity will not be long enough to regret that you've not done it. Therefore, when I talked about the baptism we had, October the 2nd, Claudia, Beth, Caitlin, Zoli, you're on the right side. So you see, do you remember the story? Remember how our Sunday school kids one time in here they did? They said, there's one door and only one. Does anyone remember that? One door and only one. And yet its sides are two. What's the next one? Carol, do you know? I'm on the inside. Which side are you? They went like this. I remember, have you ever seen three-year-olds trying to manipulate their fingers in their hands, trying to turn them? They were standing up here once, years ago. It was a vacation Bible school. And beloved, there is only one door. One door. Yes, there are two sides. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? May God bless.
He's part, and the door is shut. Just do it today. Please don't delay, because the door's not shut.
Lord, we rejoice that you brought us this far and that we start a new year, and it would be an excellent time for rededication of our lives to you and to dedicate our lives if we have not before. And don't let it go another year. Lord, be with each one of us today. And help us to want to serve you in whatever capacity that you assign us to. Bless our hearts with your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. And teach us how to listen and to hear your voice. And Lord, bless this year with an excitement to see what you have for us. And if you do come again this year, that we all would be ready to meet you. Thank you for a beautiful Sunday, and bless us as we go apart. And we look forward to meeting you and meeting each other again. In Jesus' name, amen.